It's been a bumpy few months in the stock market, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down about 10% from its peak. We've also seen lackluster jobs reports in the U.S. and flat wages. So should we be worried about a recession? Joining us now is Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And, you know, we've seen a little bit of a bounce back in the stock market recently, but it did go down before that quite significantly by some measures. What do you think? Is this just a dip, or are we in for maybe even a recession?
I don't think we're in for a recession, but I think the reality that even though China is only 1% of our exports, it's the second largest economy in the world, and the collateral damage of weakness in China is being felt, most notably in stock prices. Multinational companies, many of them rely on China for as much as 20 to 40% of their profits. So even though they're not exporting there, they're building and selling there. And when China's consumer wavers a bit, that affects them.
And has China done anything really important to fix the problems that caused all the trouble in the first place? Have they actually solved this, or they just put a Band-Aid on it?
There lies the rub. In fact, they haven't solved this, and their slowness and inability to coordinate reaction to what's been happening in China, sort of half measured interventions in their currency market, interventions in their stock market, and really some backstepping on fundamental reforms as vested interest. I call them the state-owned enterprises that made billions on China being an export nation. That backlash has really stopped the momentum of China changing fundamentally and shifting to a consumer-based economy. It still can get there, but the process and the transition is going to be very painful. And I think that's the reality we're now seeing. And it's not just in China. Remember, China was the largest buyer on the margin for much of the last decade and a half of everything from commodities to U.S. Treasury bonds. And when they slow down or reverse their purchases in those areas, we see an impact. 29 economies rely on China for more than 20% of their exports. Those economies now are not only slowing down, many of them are actually in recession.
So do you lay the blame on China for the weaker job growth in this country over the last few months? We saw only 142,000 jobs added in the U.S. in September, on average 167,000 in the last 3 months, which is the weakest 3 months we've seen in over 2 years.
Part of the problem is China and weakness abroad. There's no doubt about that. The stronger dollar, increased competition at home. We also built inventories very dramatically in the first half of the year. There are a combination of factors that led to that. A very weak first quarter. Remember, back in the first quarter, we had West Coast ports run strike. Inventories got built later in the year, and then we had to drain them down. And that exacerbated the insult of a strong dollar and weak growth abroad, faltering exports, to be honest with you, on manufacturing activity. So all those, it was a bit of a perfect storm to slow the economy down. That perfect storm, however, did not completely derail growth. It was a body blow. And I do think we're likely to have slower growth in employment going forward. The interesting issue for the Fed is that, you know, they're looking at an economy now that only needs to generate about 100,000 jobs a month to still be edging towards that full employment goal of theirs. And that's going to be very important as we move forward, is sort of the threshold is moving down on what it's going to take for the Fed to get to liftoff.
Well, I want to ask you about the Fed, because when I look at what's been happening in the stock market and what the Fed has been doing, it looks like the Fed and not China is what's driving things. That as soon as investors see that the Fed is going to wait longer to raise interest rates, which they were going to do this year, and now it looks like maybe it'll happen early next year, that's what really drives the market. And at some point, presumably, the Fed is going to have to raise interest rates.
We hope the Fed has to raise interest rates, because that means the economy is actually stronger. I mean, remember what the Fed's goal here is: to lift the foot off the accelerator and acknowledge a stronger economy rather than hit the brakes. They're not trying to stomp out growth. And I think that's very important. The Fed did react in delay because of the uncertainty created by China. As economists, the Fed expected China to slow. I don't know that they expected the market reaction. It's not that the tail is wagging the dog here with the Federal Reserve, but the market revealed our vulnerability to China as well. And I think that sort of left the Fed very cautious. That doesn't mean that they won't lift interest rates. The Fed has also made a bit of its own bed of uncertainty by, instead of saying, this is what we're going to do going forward, they're saying, you know what, each meeting is live. well, you'll know what we do when we do it. Hmm. Well, that is adding insult to injury in terms of uncertainty going forward, because the market would like to know, okay, what are you guys exactly thinking? And frankly, we're not getting that exact answer right now.
And it's worth remembering that the Fed has two mandates. One of them is full employment as they can help with. And the other is to keep inflation at a certain target. And we should say at this point, at least for the first part of this year, inflation in this country is basically non-existent.
Actually, it's failed on that mandate on inflation for years now, and it's quite aware of that. Inflation has been low, average below the 2% target by the Federal Reserve for the entire recovery. If you average it out, only for a brief period in 2011 did they actually get above their target. And the bottom line is, if their target is 2%, we haven't seen it consistently since the onset of the recovery, and that is what their job was to do.
In your ideal world, what would Congress be doing right now on the fiscal side of things to try to juice the economy?
I don't think that world exists. Huh. You know, that's one of the greatest conundrums, is that the Fed has been burdened with too much of the burden of shouldering the responsibility for the U.S. economy. And everything from uncertainty in policy in Congress to uncertainty about whether or not we can even keep the government open through December. Will there be another showdown over the debt ceiling, let alone the long-term fiscal sustainability of where we're at in this country? Will we be able to pay our bills in a reasonable way? Will we set up long-term fiscal responsibility in a way that doesn't kill us all at once, you know, where we have to have a big cut or a big tax hike all at once? All of those things are being ignored by Congress right now. And that's one of the most frustrating things for the Federal Reserve as well, because the Federal Reserve is running out of ammunition. This whole process of what's going on at the Federal Reserve and what's happened since the crisis was predicated, when Ben Bernanke first laid it out in 2002, on a partnership between grownups in Congress and grownups at the Fed. Unfortunately, there are only grownups on one side of that aisle.
It's Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.